Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Once again, Thomas Watson here at the historic Clay County Courthouse, here at 100 Courthouse Square, smack dab in the middle of downtown Salina. We'd like to welcome everyone in to our regularly scheduled Clay County Corner here at this site and here at the radio site of WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, and we come to you live and in living color each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, with a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock. And these programs are streamed on the Valhalla Horizon website, so all kinds of opportunities to listen to what we've got going on here. Got Dr. Doug Young coming over here in a few minutes. We've got some stuff we're going to talk about, and then we've got some other things we're going to do today, some announcements of some things, maybe a little bit of history about Easter. Might do a little something on that before we get through today. And let's see, we've of course got our birthday and anniversary club. We've got some call-ins on that today. We'll be giving away one of those delicious ice cream cakes over at the Salina Dairy Queen. And now we want to remind folks, now we've got a few that haven't been picked up yet. So you need to, if your name's been called, you need to go over there and take care of that. And let's see, what else have we got? Of course, we've got baseball and softball going on at our schools, the high school and the junior high programs. So take the advantage to go down and check them out if you can. And like I said, we've got a bunch of Easter activities going on this weekend, and we'll talk about those all here just in a few minutes. But right now, let's take a little short break and work in a few words from our sponsors. We have, of course, we'd like to thank the three-star program for making this possible, the Clay Chamber that helps out with a lot of stuff, and, of course, all of the folks that help sponsor this show. And if you'd like to have a little spot on the Clay County Air, give the folks a call, and they'll take care of that for you. But right now, let's take a little short break. We'll be coming back. Looks like Dr. Young just made it in a dead run. And we'll be back just in a few minutes.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want a warm place on a cold day.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
These should be a walk in the park.
Clean. Wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate. Keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook. Make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole.
And chill. Refrigerate food promptly.
Yep.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. Let's see, we've got a couple of more things here. Oh, I want to kind of throw something out here this morning also. For the next evening at the courthouse, we're kind of looking at an open mic and evening karaoke up in the newly developing Clay County Theater. And of course, most folks are familiar what karaoke is, where you have your, what we used to call performance tapes. And for folks that have tremendous voices but don't pick guitars or anything like that, so we have pre-recorded music for them, and we're looking at that, and you know, put them on the spotlight up on the stage, and also kind of an open mic night if you're like an individual performer that can play the guitar as a common sing, or even do an instrumental type thing, have a little open mic night. And we're looking at Thursday, April the 25th, to take a look at that. And if you would like to be a part of that, you can talk to Marlene Roden down at Willis, because I think they've been doing some things down there lately. And also, you can give me a call at 931-243-3464 to get lined up. And we'd probably try to line up and have maybe an evening of practice the week before this, and get a real, real nice professional show worked up for this. So if you'd like to be a part of this, you know, let us know. And let's see. Now, this, of course, coming up is Easter weekend, and I know the beginning about, I guess, 4 or 5 years ago, the Baptist Church started doing an Easter egg hunt up at Donaldson Park on Saturday before Easter, and I know they've got that coming up, and I believe that they've got about $700 or $800 worth of prize money they're going to be giving away up there. And they're starting at 11 a.m., and I think they said they'd have, you know, games, fun for all. And I believe they're serving free food up there in that one. So reminder of that one. And then the Salina Lions Club is having their annual Easter egg hunt. Give us a little bit of history on that, Dr. Young.
Well, I was just thinking last night, Tom, that we are probably on our fourth or fifth generation of Easter egg hunters. Seriously, we started this thing, it's been over 50 years ago, and I don't think we missed a year. We might have had a little rain and then one time or another and had to postpone. But this year we've got a big Easter egg hunt. We've got over $1,000 in prize money, and be a fun time for all, and you better get there on time, because the Easter egg hunt doesn't last long.
It kind of reminds you, if you've ever seen any of the old film or of the Oklahoma Land Rush.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't see any covered wagons or anything out there. But now, when they hit the green flag, them youngins hit the field, don't they? It's fun to sit up there and watch them.
We had one in another place where I lived, and this lady had some sort of a plastic bag that she hung around her child's neck. And then like the old wheelbarrow race we used to have, she had him with a leg going down through that, and he was raking them in with both hands.
Well, now, I know we talked about the history of this. How many different places have this been held?
We started out in the very beginning up below the dam.
Okay,
When the Lions Club moved to the Clay County Recreation Park or whatever we've ended up calling, we've had it over there since that time.
I thought that, is that the first place was there at the dam, below
right,
the dam?
Right.
Okay. Well, now, do you have to hurry back, or you want to?
I'm going to have to get back pretty quick. We've got another meeting going on at the chamber right now.
Well, I'll say I've got a whole big history here. I guarantee you.
All right.
I got to thinking about Easter, where the Easter eggs came from.
Yeah.
And we will do that here,
okay,
afterwards. But right now, what have we got going on? What you got? Some things here in the county you want to talk about a minute,
well,
and then what we've got going on
over
there.
We've got a bunch of now. This afternoon, starting at 5 and going until about 7, the formal presentation will be at 5:15. at the community center will be all that is about a grant that we got to plan the downtown area and work on the sidewalks from the downtown area to Donaldson Park. You know, Tom, let me bird walk here a minute. Sometimes we kind of get criticized for doing these grants. Well, why didn't they do this and why didn't they do that? And the simple answer to that is that's not what the grant was for.
Well, you know, that's something a lot of folks don't understand, too. And I know here at the courthouse, I know, you know, we have gotten in the past couple of years about, $24,000, $25,000 here to do some things. And, you know, it would have been great if we could have got $25,000 to make some repairs on the outside of the courthouse.
Yes.
I know we've got some woodwork that needs working on. But the money's not there for that type of things through the arts people and people that actually want to, you know, help maintain and keep this building useful, which is one of the things we're trying to do. I know safety-wise, you know, with the electrical and then, of course, doing the turning into a theater. But, you know, as we said, we've got to take money where we can get it from,
haven't
we?
That's it. And we're diligently chasing that at every turn. And we're particularly going after those grants that don't have a match. Sometimes we have a tough time just making the match in a distressed county. There are 15 distressed counties, you see, and all of the really small counties, I think, are distressed. Even down, if I'm not badly mistaken, down in the county where Jack Daniels is.
Lynchburg.
Moore County. Moore County is even distressed now. And I wouldn't know why. It looks like they'd have plenty of jobs down there. But there's more ways of being distressed other than unemployment. So when the small county with very limited resources tries to come up with the match money for a grant, sometimes we just have to pass.
You know, I know we see these headlines all the time of these communities. Downtown Franklin, which is an example of that. You know, I know a few years ago they had an old movie theater there, and the headlines, you know, I forgot how many million dollars that they got to turn that old theater, which seats about 200-300 people, into an activity center and a theater, and it's just millions of dollars they got to do that. But when you read the fine print, for each million they got, they had to match it with a million.
Yeah.
And, you know, try to come up with $1 million in Clay County to match a grant.
We have a great old theater here that I used to shine shoes in my daddy's barber shop on Saturday mornings and get enough money to go to the show. Of course, it didn't take a lot, but I had to shine five pairs of shoes for a nickel a pair, and that gave me a quarter, and I could go across the street to the theater. And 12 cents to get in, a nickel for a Coke, a nickel for popcorn, and have 3 cents left over, and I go down to my Uncle T.F.'s store and get me three Uncle Remus tackies for that. That killed my quarter.
I remember a lot of the young fellas that did the shoe signing, they would take their 3 cents and meet with their buddies and have a coin matching contest to try to build that 3 cents up to a nickel where they could get another Coke.
The thing that we've got going now with this Salina Walks project is just back off and look at the square in Livingston. This is kind of how they got started. You have to have a planning grant in order to go ahead and get other grants. Now, we have an engineering firm coming in helping us with this, very professional. They're looking at the square in particular and then the streets around the square feeding into the downtown, and they're looking for possibility of sidewalks from here all the way up to Donaldson Park, as I mentioned earlier. Then in the downtown area, they're looking at landscaping, the traffic flow, possibly a couple making it one way on two sides of the square. The landscaping, I looked over at Livingston to see what they had done, and in some of the areas that don't take up parking, they've been able to put in some landscaping that just really beautifies the downtown area real well. And then lighting, really some of these LED lightings that just really light up your downtown at night, Livingston's had those for some time. So we're kind of using Livingston as a model now, and see if we can, over a period of years, get Salina looking as good or better than downtown Livingston.
That would be a major project right now, wouldn't it? Because, like you said, they have made some great advances. Of course, they've had one-way traffic around parts of the square for a long, long time, haven't they?
They have. Let's see. Just three sides of their square, I think, are one-way. But now they've been the way it looks today, it's taken them years to get there. It'll take us some years to get to where we want to be. Now we're currently on our third downtown facade grant that's helping our downtown merchants. This year we really thought that we were going to be able to do all of the city limits. As a matter of fact, I went on this radio show and talked about that because we had included that in our application for that grant, but when the grant came through, they didn't allow us to go up East Lake Avenue beyond the downtown area. They did allow us to stay on the state highway, Highway 52, and go out toward the four-way stop. But maybe, just maybe, if we can get another downtown grant, we might be able to go up on up East Lake Avenue.
And, you know, I know one of the things that we've been talking about for a number of years, and that is the bypass. And, of course, Livingston is I guess what some folks would like to say, Livingston was a victim of a bypass, which, you know, some folks kind of think that's the kind of way they look at it, that if we've got a bypass, that some of the downtown area is going to be victimized by this. But, you know, like you said, take a look at downtown Livingston now, that the thriving business that are going on are the mom-and-pop shops that are there, and it's all made possible by the fact that all that traffic doesn't go around the bypass when it comes to Livingston.
Certainly not.
You've got, of course, when you give folks a reason to go downtown, guess what? That's what they're going to do.
Do you know that the Department of Transportation projects, I think it's by 2030, we're going to have 3,000 trailer trucks traveling on Highway 52 coming right through the middle of Salina. If we don't have a truck route around Salina. And right now, to me, you get outside. Well, as a matter of fact, here in the old courthouse, one reason for moving the courtroom was that there was so much noise up there, it was interrupting trials right in the middle of a trial. You have to stop for the trailer truck to get by so you could hear.
And like I said, you know what, once you get rid of part of the traffic, there are so many other things you can do in the downtown area to make it more attractive and make it attractive for more folks to open up a small business here. And once you get that foot traffic with adequate parking, you know, it's amazing how many people that will park a few steps away. Because I know all of us are guilty of this. You know, we think here if we shop in downtown Salina, we're supposed to park right in front of where we're going to spend our money. And the very same bunch of us will go to Walmart over Cookeville and park in the back corner, which would be probably up about where, I'm trying to think one of the businesses would be up that way. It would be probably up nearly as far as the insurance office, and that's Scott's best way, to walk from that corner over to the store.
Or you go down to Rivergate, and they've got those anchor stores, two on each end, and then about a mile between them, long walk between those two big stores.
But, you know, I guess it's perspective. You know, we'd always been used to pulling up in front of the stores, hopping out and running in.
And Tom, you and I are old enough to remember when downtown we had three or four restaurants at the same time in the downtown area.
Absolutely.
We had about four or five clothing stores downtown at the same time. And then the variety store, the dime store we call it, was downtown. We had a lot of commerce downtown. And where did we find parking? One, we didn't have as many cars.
Right.
Now everybody in the family's got a car. And we didn't mind walking. Some folks that worked down to Oshkosh at lunchtime would walk up the hill and have lunch and then shop in the stores. and they didn't have to have parking.
And you know, and they did the same thing after work. If they had shopping to do here in Salina, they would leave their car down in the parking spot and walk up, do their shopping, and go back down.
And we had parking meters.
We did.
And if you stayed at the parking meter too long, John and Sue would give you a ticket.
Write you a ticket. Hey, let's take a little short break and come back, and we may get back serious again here in a minute.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise. We'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Let's see. We got something else. What's going on now?
Okay, well, one thing we got going on that's brand new. Everybody that lives in Clay County will, in the near future, receive a publication that we've been able to put together, a series of articles about the lake and Clay County and a little bit on the history of Clay County. And this is something that we'd like to pass around as much as we can. We were able to get a grant and get 10,000 of those printed, and the postage for those 10,000 will be mailed out. Then our retirement committee last year put together a bag to go to some of the marinas and the campsites, so that people who were coming to Clay County had their brochures and some of those kinds of things. And hopefully we'll be able to put those in the bag at the campsites. The Corps of Engineers have some pretty tough rules about things like that, and it might not make it. We've not got it cleared yet with the Corps, but we'll certainly have them at the marinas and other strategic locations. We'll have them at the visitor centers up and down the interstate and some places like that. We've got a lot of people wanting to come to Del Hollow Lake, and the more they find out about it, the more they want to move here. In addition to that publication, we've got something hopefully soon, within the next 2 weeks, at the Chamber of Commerce, we'll have a new message board. Another item that we were able to get on a grant this year, and that message board was hard to come by, because the folks who were issuing the grants didn't feel like message boards were a good, very good investment. But I used the area over at Livingston, where they've got about 7 message boards in about a half a mile, and that gets polluted. Now, where we're putting our message board, we'll be the only one. And we did a survey then to prove that we needed a message board. We found that people who were surveyed, a few of them got their information online, a few read the newspaper, a few listened to the radio. But most of them got their information, they claimed, by word of mouth. And so a message board in front of the Chamber of Commerce will stimulate that kind of information, I think. We used a study that was done in 2016 by the Department of Transportation that indicated that 5,000 vehicles pass by the Chamber of Commerce every day. And so that's a lot of visibility that sign will get. Now, we got a grant and put the one over at the park years ago. That's not where we intended for it to go, but the Department of Transportation didn't really want us to put it where we wanted to put it, so we had to find another place. And it's too far off the highway to read it very comfortably. So this new one will be really nice. It's going to be somewhat like a TV set, so about anything you can put on a computer screen can go on that thing. But for those of you who are having activities, when we get that thing done, make sure that we've got your activity, and we'll get it on the bulletin board. And you can always get it on the radio station here. Sometimes, Tom, we have an event of some kind, and I'll talk to somebody having breakfast at the restaurant and tell them about this big event we had this weekend. Well, I didn't know you were having that. I'd have come if I'd have known it. So it's very difficult to get the word out sometimes.
You know, that is a major problem for any kind of activity anywhere in this county, because, you know, we have, gadzooks of stuff going on from one side of Clay County to the other, east, west, north, south, and seems like, you know, very few people outside of just a very small radius know about things that are going on in their community.
Out at the chamber right now, we are compiling some lists. One is a list of what activities are available to senior citizens in Clay County. And already that's a very long list. We're also compiling a list of what activities are available for kids. And that's becoming a long list. When you start listing everything that they can participate, that doesn't mean that they want to participate in that activity or whatever. But we've got just a lot of stuff going on that people can participate in.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to read off the birthdays. We're going to take a little short break, and then we're going to come back again here in a few minutes. But in the past week, folks celebrating birthdays, and I've got a couple of names on here I'm not sure about that didn't leave anyone to call, but I hope I listened well enough to finally get it reasonably well so we can tell who they are if they do happen to win. But first off, all the folks over at Salina Rehab would like to wish Shirley Butler McCormick, a happy birthday. She celebrated her birthday this past week. Nelda Clemens, on the 17th, celebrated the birthday. And I know her family called in and said, you know, they'd like to wish her a happy birthday. And this one I'm not sure of, but the best I can learn, a young lady named Logan Jr. And I don't think I'd heard that last name, and called in by Uncle Shelby. And I listened to that, I know, 15 times trying to get that one right. And then also celebrating a birthday this week, Jennifer Adams. And then also, I think this one is correct, Alex Combs, 18th birthday, by his family called in to wish him a happy birthday. And then Liz Hammonds had a call in to wish her a happy birthday. So those names will go into our highly sophisticated non-computerized selection system here toward the end of the show, and you'll get one of the, I think we've got some cards out at the chamber that we give folks that come by and pick up. You can take over and trade that in for a ice cream cake. All righty. Now, with that, we'll take a little short break. We'll come back in a minute. And, Dr. Young, I know we've got maybe some more of the activities in the county to talk about, and maybe a couple more things that are going on over at the chamber with 3-Star and some other things. And we've talked about, of course, about the meeting down this afternoon at the Senior Center. We might want to add a little bit more to that. But with that, we'll be back just in a minute.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is. A date convenient for you, sometimes a day or two, makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria and food from making you ill with 4 simple steps.
You should be a walking
in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature. And chill. Refrigerate food promptly.
Yeah.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, Doug, we're back again. I know we've got a few more minutes before you have to take off, maybe, but I just keep you here for... Well, now, what time do you definitely have to be back?
About another 10 minutes.
Okay.
One thing we want to do, Tom, is welcome John Keaton back home. I understand he's mended up enough that he's going to be coming back home soon.
Yes, I know Randy had filled me in on that. I think he's got to, I don't envy his drive. He's got to go down to Nashville at the airport in the morning and pick him up and get him back home, I reckon. So we're looking forward to hearing his voice again.
Yeah.
And getting him back here and getting him rehabbed and getting him up and going again.
I understand he's lost a bunch of weight.
You know, we may have to put an ID placard on the front of him telling who he is when he gets back. But it's great that he's making it back to us.
So maybe we can run him by the donut shop here and some of the barbecue joints and fatten him up.
Yeah.
One other thing I might mention, Tom, we've had a visit by Becky Magura from WCTE, and she is traveling the Upper Cumberland area right now, visiting with the various counties to see what WCTE can do to promote each of the counties. I was on their board for several years back a long time ago when Becky was just an intern running around the station over there. And so I did some work for Tennessee Tech doing this PR kind of stuff. And so now I'm volunteering to do that with WCTE. And we have visited six counties, and we've got two more next week. We're trying to do two a month. And we're looking at not just promoting Clay County, but promoting the whole Upper Cumberland area. We have lots of people that are wanting to take day trips, or some of them maybe a two-day trip, an overnight trip, particularly out of the Knoxville and Nashville and some of the cities. And they're looking for a place to go. And golly, we've got so much to see and do in the Upper Cumberland. Beautiful country. It just doesn't get any... I've pretty well traveled all over the nation. And I don't know of a place any prettier than we are right here in the Upper Cumberland area. And here we've got lakes and mountains and cliffs and caves and just all of this kind of stuff. Kayaking and just so much activity available. And there's some national TV programs that originate right there in Cookeville at WCTE. And She's putting some of that good information about the Upper Cumberland out to the whole nation. Maybe we could get her over here someday to be on the radio program with you.
Yeah, she's been here once before, and she promised me she'll make it back when she gets a chance to get over here. And, you know, I like bluegrass music, but the one show that they have is that Bluegrass Underground. That, I mean, now it is one of the top PBS shows throughout the nation now. And I think they've had to maybe remodel some stuff and redo some things for the crowd they were drawing for that. And I know they, like I said, it's a nationwide hit now.
It'd be great if we had some sort of a 30-second advertising the whole Upper Cumberland. Of course, with Dale Holla being the first thing they'd mention. Going out to millions and millions of people, that's pretty good advertising when you go out to that many people.
You know, and same, you know, sometimes, you know, we would like WCTE or any of these folks that come in here and talk to people and to find some of our good old down-to-home country folks here in this area. And then also, you know, it seems like a lot of times when TV stations come in, they look around the crowd and pick out characters to talk to.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes, you know, it doesn't leave a real, real pleasant impression of what our citizenry really is like in the Upper Cumberland. And I know, you know, some of the characters the true characters we have here, some of the older folks, some of the younger folks that are interested in things like genealogy, history, and those things, where the, you know, we could, you know, talk about some of the traditions here in the county, some of the things that have gone on here in the county in the past, some of the legends we have here in the county. And a little thing that hit my mind the other day about something. I was driving along and came by a place where an old country store was at, and I happened to think, hey, that'd be a great project for the Sesquicentennial folks. Let's find out where all the country stores in Clay County were located and who owned them. And
let's say, right there, if anybody out there has a picture of an old country store, would they please bring it by the chamber, and we'll scan it and hand it right back to you. We won't keep it, so we won't be losing it. We'd just love to make a copy of it.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, there's things like that, and, you know, the family stories. I know I can remember my grandfather telling about how he got started by trapping and maybe got some skunk skins one winter and sold those and put the money back in a couple acres of land and then got a little bit more and a little bit more. You know, it's amazing the stories that are to be told if we get the right people and get them in front of a camera, get them used to it, and record this for the folks that are going to be here when some of these older folks are going to be gone.
Of course, Becky does a one-on-one with Becky, and she's getting some national publicity out of that and getting some national characters on that. And then Celeste does one discovering the Upper Cumberland.
Right.
And we're trying to expand that and get more attention. Demetria Calademus is going to be doing something. I'm not sure exactly what she's going to be doing, but she's going to be doing something with WCTE in the near future. And then, of course, they've got Hippie Jack and the Underground, and just several programs that go out nationwide. And that's not counting the local kinds of stuff. They cover a lot of Tech's ball games. And now that Tech and the OVC has signed a contract with ESPN, that's going to free up WCTE to start doing some high school games
again,
like they used to, and be able to do that live. You know, one thing that I've learned in making the counties with Becky is that WCTE has four channels.
Right.
Now, those four channels are not on all the TV feeders across the Upper Cumberland. It's not on Dish. I don't think it's on Direct. But some of the cable systems are covering it.
Twin Lakes does. I do.
Twin Lakes has them. Okay. One of those channels is the state legislature from gavel to gavel. And then one of them is a children's 24/7. Now, we're not promoting that kids stay up 24/7 watching kids programs, but 24/7 for children's kind of programs. And I really don't remember what the other one was.
Maybe just maybe local things and state things that are going on.
I know. I remember when we were down in the basement of the football stadium there. And didn't have much of a staff. Everybody was overworked, and I mean Becky and Richard Castle and Donna Castle and their kids and Robert Huddleston and those guys who really put that thing together some 40 years ago are to be congratulated, because very few areas as small as ours has their own TV station.
You know,
and that's the only station that will probably ever be on the TV station that will ever be in the Upper Cumberland, because the FCC is buying up TV franchises because they need them for cell phones and internet. They need that bandwidth. That's way beyond my pay grade. I don't understand bandwidth, but evidently just so much of it, and TV takes up a big chunk. So they're not going to create more TV programs.
Okay, now, hey, let's not forget the host, Steve Boots.
Yes, oh, Steve was instrumental back in those days. Yeah,
and I believe the guy I think he wound up down at WSM as an announcer down at the Grand Ole Opry. Started.
Bilbrey.
Yes,
Keith Bilbrey.
Yes, Keith Bilbrey.
Yeah.
Started over at Channel 22.
Yeah. And a lot of interns through Tennessee Tech.
And I think Becky, she was interning there maybe about the time I started teaching over here.
Uh-huh.
She's quite a bit younger than I am, I'm sure. But like I said, I have known Becky, as you have, for a number of years. And she has been very aggressive in promoting the Upper Cumberland through the years that she's been there. And, of course, you mentioned the Castles. And I know they were great to do local TV shows, because I know personally from the fact when I retired from coaches, they came up and did a 30-minute show. When a principal would retire, they would come out on site to the school and talk to them and talk about the history of the job, all the things, the quaint things they remembered and things like that. And the nice thing is that Tennessee Tech has video copies of most of all that stuff, which is great, but on the other side of it, it's not cataloged and classified, and it's going to take quite a bit of time and quite a bit of money to get those digitized and moved over to where they can be cataloged and be searchable and be used to a much greater extent.
And there we're looking for some grants to help do just that. And maybe a program at Tennessee Tech that would help with that.
I think they have moved off of the campus. They moved off campus at Tennessee Tech.
They're down just off the square in Cookeville now. They're running a program right now commemorating the 40 years that CTE has been in existence, and I've chastised them already. Angelo Volpe and I are the first two guys on that program. And the cameraman have done a lousy job. We look 40 years older than we think we look. And certainly 40 years older than we did 40 years ago.
Well, I have always heard the camera really doesn't lie to begin with. But now, that course, they can be changed and doctored once they get them now with all this digital stuff.
Yeah.
They might make you and I even look halfway reasonable.
They failed on me. I certainly look 40 years older. Tom, I better take off. Thanks for letting me come down this morning. Let me say to people in Clay County, we've got a lot of stuff going on. And if you have time that you'd like to volunteer, particularly volunteer some leadership, if you'd like to take a committee and provide the leadership for that committee and do something, we've got a comprehensive plan that we're working, and there's plenty of things that need to be done, and it takes leadership. And I don't get paid. I'm a volunteer. You don't get paid, and you're a volunteer. And we have lots and lots and lots of good people out there volunteering right now, and we just need more people to make Clay County a better place to live, work, and play.
Absolutely. With that, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back. And I guess I'm going to have to fill in here for a few minutes. And we'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm place on a cool day.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria and food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This will be a walk in the park.
Clean. Wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate. Keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook. Make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole.
And chill. Refrigerate properly. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to thank Dr. Young for taking a few minutes out from what today is a busy schedule. Like I said, he came down here to talk a little bit about that. And then this evening, we do have the meeting down there talking about some of the ways to improve downtown Salina and, you know, realizing the traffic that we have coming through here, the parking problems. But, you know, sometimes we see, you know, finding a grant that we can use to improve our downtown. This one is actually, I think, through the through a healthier Tennessee or a healthier USA, where, you know, the emphasis now is on getting out and exercising and walking. And I know one of some of the things they're looking at is to, you know, to connect Donaldson Park to downtown Salina here with a pedestrian walkway that would be lighted and, you know, well kept, well maintained, that type thing, and changing maybe the parking pattern here in downtown Salina, increasing some of the space that could be used for things like our farmer's market. Our farmer's market, which is coming up here before long, I think we have a date here for it. We had a little meeting about that the other day. I think we're going to start June the 5th and go just as long as we possibly can, beginning at 8 o'clock. I know we've got some information we're going to get out on that with no contracts for people and to try to line up a number of people. And I think we're going to have a grand opening for the farmers market, and I'm not sure the exact date on that, and I'll have that for us the next time we come. But we'd like to, you know, remind anyone out there that has a little garden plot or would like to put out some things and have them available for the farmers market here. And I think, of course, you know, we want to go from early tomato season down to pumpkin seasons with all the stuff in between, all the corn and maters and beans and all those things, where we'll have them available here around the square on Saturday mornings. And with that, let's see what else we've got here. Well, like I said, I'll remind everyone again, if you're interested in the karaoke open mic night here at the courthouse, give me a call or talk to Marlene Roten down at Willis, and we'll try to get that set up and going. And to remind everyone about our Easter egg hunts coming up. And then looking down, some things that happened on today in history. I just noticed one here today, something that enlightened me on something, and I taught history for a number of years, that when in 1775 on this day, when Paul Revere, I guess it had been during the nighttime on this one, when they rode throughout the area there shouting their warning from Charleston to Lexington, they didn't say the Redcoats were coming. According to actual fact, they said the regulars are coming. So I thought that was kind of neat. And let's see, in 1865, I think probably one of the last major battles was settled today over in North Carolina when General Joseph Johnson celebrated to William Tecumseh Sherman on this day. Let's see, looking on down through our things today that happened in 1906, the great San Francisco earthquake and fire killed 4,000 people and destroyed 75% of the city.
So that we've all heard about the great San Francisco Earth. Of course, we're still hearing today stories of how that one of these days that California is going to fall off into the ocean along the San Andreas Fault. Of course, it hadn't happened yet, but, you know, that's something we've heard all of our lives. In 1946, on this day, Jackie Robinson, who broke the color line in professional baseball, he debuted as second baseman for the Montreal Royals, which was the Dodgers minor league team at that time. And let's see, looking on down through here, in 1966, the great Bill Russell became the first African-American coach in NBA history with the Boston Celtics, and he was a player coach. I can remember seeing that on TV. So, and let's see, looking on down, there's all kinds of things going on this day. But I'll tell you what let's do. Let's talk a little bit about Easter. I've got a couple of things here that, you know, I know we all take it for granted, you know, what Easter is, you know, with the, of course, the religious ceremonies, the sunrise services, all those things. We do know that, you know, it is a historically accurate remembrance of the resurrection. And, of course, that due to the great record-keeping of the traditional Jewish folks, and we do know that is correct, that that is the time. But there's a, you know, we have things now like Easter egg hunts, the Easter egg bunny, all those things, and you get to wonder, you know, where'd all this come from? And I did a little bit of research, so I've got a few notes here. We might talk a little bit about that. The Easter bunny, you know, I've never really given a whole lot of thought to it. You know, I thought maybe it's something that some Wall Street ad executive had come up with to help sell more Cadbury eggs or something like that. But actually, the Easter bunny, I guess it's traced back to, I guess, I don't know, maybe semi-religious traditions. You know, a lot of our holidays, religious holidays, were formed around what were formerly pagan holidays, you know, the non-believer holidays, because the early folks in some of the religious organizations kind of figured out if we come up with a religious holiday on the same day on things they've already been celebrating for a number of years, that we'll have a better chance of, you know, converting them over to this holiday, this religious holiday. So sometimes when you do research, you find that that was actually what set the date for certain holidays. But now the Easter Bunny, of course, has become a prominent symbol of Christianity's most important holiday. And as we said here, the exact origins of this mythical mammal, really, they're not clear. But we do know, you know, that rabbits are known for producing lots of rabbits. And a lot of, they were ancient symbols of fertility and new life. And, you know, that's kind of going along with the resurrection, the new life. And I think the tradition started over in Europe. And the Easter Bunny first arrived in America in the 1700s with German immigrants who arrived here in the United States, settled in Pennsylvania, and they brought with them their tradition of an egg-laying hare, or Osterhase, or Ochterhase. Their children made nests out in the yard, and overnight, the Easter rabbit, the hare, would come by and lay colored eggs in these baskets. And eventually, you know, this custom spread all over the United States, and the fable rabbit's Easter morning deliveries expanded to include chocolates, candies, gifts, and then we changed from the nest to putting the eggs out in a field, and the kids would then came up with decorated baskets and replaced the nest, and they would go out and to the fields, and eventually, you know, they would gather the eggs in. And this is also, this is kind of something, too, that, you know, this not unusual either, that when they had the things where they had the Easter nest where the rabbit come by and lays in the basket, that the kids would leave carrots for the bunnies. Kind of like leaving cookies for Santa when he got hungry and tired from all this hopping around, leaving and laying these eggs. And then we get to another thing there, and that is the Easter egg. The Easter egg, of course, is an ancient symbol of new life. Christians, you know, believe that all life came from an egg. And they also, some of the Orthodox religions said that, you know, Easter eggs are, they represent Jesus' emergence from the tomb and resurrection. And then the decorating of Easter eggs dates all the way back to the 13th century, according to some sources. And one of the explanations for this custom is the boiled eggs that Easter, you know, during the Lenten season, there were certain foods you weren't allowed to eat. And back in the day when they didn't have refrigerators to put their eggs in, they had to come up with a method of preserving them. So they boiled their eggs there that week. And of course, the boiled eggs didn't spoil. And they thought, well, you know, they were coming out of a period of penance and fasting. So they thought, you know, them the eggs might look better if they would, you know, spend this part of this time decorating them. And then they would eat those eggs as part of an Easter celebration. So, you know, I kind of thought these were all, you know, very things that we just kind of take for common, that I always kind of figured they boiled them to keep them from cracking and spilling all over the field out there when we went to gather them in. But and then another tradition here in this country is the Easter egg White House egg roll. And I thought, well, you know, let's do a little research on that. So on that, I guess maybe one of the first egg roll parties was prior to 1876. The West lawn of the White House kind of instituted an egg roll, and an egg roll was exactly what it says it is. In the steep lawn there, the kids would all gather in there, and they would take their Easter eggs to the top of the hill on the west lawn and let them roll over the hill, I guess in a type of contest to watch them roll over the hill. Well, this kind of, when they started getting, it got bigger and bigger, and they were getting, you know, thousands of young folks bringing in baskets of eggs and letting them roll down across the lawn there. And, of course, when they got to the bottom, they didn't survive the roll over the hill. So they had quite a mess down there at the bottom of the hill at the West Lawn. And so Congress actually passed a law forbidding the rolling of eggs down the hill on the West Lawn. And, of course, they lucked out the first year after they passed the law. Easter got rained out that weekend. But the next year kind of presented a little bit of a problem and some ill will toward the folks that passed the law. So they came up with, in 1878, that the First Lady invited the kids to bring their eggs to the South Lawn and let them roll over the hill in the South Lawn. So that's where the tradition started. After Congress passed the law outlawing it one place, the First Lady moved them over to another place, and it's still going on now. And I know we've had, you know, the television always covers it, and this they have kind of a presidential little service there. And okay, I guess I've run out of time. I had a little bit more to talk about. I know one of the most famous egg rolls was one that President Nixon had while he was there. But with that, I guess we better do a giveaway, a birthday cake, and we'll do that right now. Let's see who we've got here today. We have, let's see, today's birthday winner is Liz Hammond. Liz, have someone to come by, or you come by over at the chamber, pick up your gift certificate to take over to the Dairy Queen, pick up your delicious ice cream cake, and the voice in my ear says we're done for the day, so I guess it's time that we shut the door here, put everything up, and get ready to start working on next week. And we'll do that, and we'll meet you again here on WVFB FM 101.5, Kicks Country. And with that, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And good day, Clay County.